Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. We also greet you this morning in Christ's name. Certainly has been a blessing to have been here this morning. And was encouraged in the devotional, also the singing this morning, and in our Sunday school lesson. This is a time of the year that we think and reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And it's a blessing to think of that, and what does that mean to our lives, and what do we do with our lives in return for Him? As Ralph shared this morning, our plans were to go to the minister's meeting. Before I go into the message, I thought I would share with you just a little bit about what that may involve. So I have a program in my hands here of the program and the schedule and the topics that will be shared there. This year they started a new spot, I guess you could say, in the schedule for the newly ordained. And Brother Michael shared with me that they plan to be there for that as well. They had not been to that part either. That will be on Tuesday starting at 2:30 in the afternoon. And then there's various topics there. One of them is sermon preparation and presentation by Brother Nathan Yoder. And then there's also a split session for the brethren and for the sisters by Nathan and Doris Yoder. And that is called Embracing Your Call. And then they pick back up Wednesday morning with a message by Aaron Garber on Take Heed to Yourself. The footnote to that is the Shepherd's Preparation and Personal Care out of Acts 20:28. There's numerous breaks and then, of course, lunch and some singing in there as well. Later that morning, there'll be another one by Brother Raymond Fisher, As They That Must Give Account. The footnote to that is the Shepherd's Charge out of Hebrews 13. In the afternoon, they'll do an introduction for the newly ordained. I think you have to get up, say where you're from and your name, so on. There'll be a message that afternoon by Kenley Coulter. I'm not familiar with him. But his topic is Rejoice With Me. The footnote to that is Welcoming New Members Into the Fold. In the evening, then, there's another one by Nate Zook, Feeding His Flock Like a Shepherd. Footnote to that is Staying in Touch with the Youth. I look forward to hearing what he has for us on that. Maybe I can carry some of that back and share in the future. We'll see. Thursday, then, there's a message by Joel Martin, Warn Them That Are Unruly. The footnote to that is Guiding the Uncooperative or Wayward Sheep. That's out of 1 Thessalonians. And then we have a message by Brother Donnie Schwarzenschreiber, Bind Up That Which Is Broken. The footnote to that is Comforting the Grieving Sheep. That's taken out of Ezekiel chapter 34. In the afternoon, then, is a final message, and then they wrap up and have supper as the final thing on Thursday evening. There's a message there by Elam Stolzfus, Understanding Our Sheep, A Look at Five Anabaptist Thought Patterns. I'm wondering what in the world that will involve, five Anabaptist thought patterns. So certainly we look forward to that, and we desire your prayers for us as we go, our prayers that we can learn, go with open hearts and minds, and be encouraged as well. For a message today, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. I thought I had something that I wanted to share, and I've been thinking about for quite some time, three or more weeks. And it seems like God has sort of added a couple of twists to it. But this morning, the title for this message is The Life of Joseph. The focus of the message is the commitment to which Joseph demonstrated in his life. I was so blessed this morning to read the saying on the board. It says, focus on the step in front of you and not the whole staircase. A lot of times in my life, I think I have tried to take too much, too big of a bite. I do think that as Joseph went through a lot of different circumstances in his life, he did exactly that. He focused in the moment and not got lost in the staircase. When I was a youngster, in our house that I grew up in, we had a staircase that went to the basement. At one time, I was able to leap in my youth. I was able to jump one time, hit one step, and land on the floor at the other end of the staircase. My sisters and my mom really scolded me for the sound, the noise that made. I enjoyed it, but that day came when it caught up with me. One day I was in a hurry, and I jumped and leaped, and the first thing I knew, I woke up, and I was sitting halfway down the steps, and the mark is still in the sheetrock to show it, and there was a mark on my head. That's what happens in life when you take too much. Sometimes it gets you down. But looking into the life of Joseph, I have just been really intrigued as I have read through Joseph's life story, written in about a dozen chapters in the book of Genesis. And what I found intriguing is to go even before Joseph and look into the life of, well, even Isaac and Rebekah, and then Jacob and Esau, and see what happened there. And just note a couple of things. And as I thought about some of the things that they had to deal with and the things that happened, I even thought of our own families with children, growing up, the things we go through, some of the skirmishes we have, maybe some of the misunderstandings, even between parents and children, and how that sometimes things seem more like chaos than they do a really structured, fine upbringing. Maybe we'll share a little bit more on that. But one of the things that stands out was the trickery that was involved in Isaac and Rebekah, and then in Jacob and Esau. And as you read through Genesis there and you read through the various happenstances and the things that went on, the trickery or the cunning characteristic that they had in their family. Sometimes we too have some of those negative traits in our lives, and God needs to work on us, and he needs to take tough circumstances to get our attention, bring us to him. Joseph was born in a family of 10 older brothers and at least one sister. His older brothers were a cunning, rough set. Now, I just wrote this out myself. This is sort of my rendition or description of Joseph's family. They were a cunning, rough-cut set of wilderness cowboys and shepherds. If you looked into the lives of Joseph's older brothers, they were out in the big open country, and they were herding cattle, and they were caring for sheep. And what happens to us men if we're out and away from civilization? We get sort of rough, don't we? You also see a lot of naughtiness that just went on with his older brothers. But Joseph was born into this. Jacob had four wives. Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel, the true love of Jacob's life. Sadly, Joseph's mother died when his younger brother Benjamin was born. As most people know, Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. This caused his brothers to envy and hate him. Joseph's troubles reached a new level when he was 17. After a series of dreams showed that God would elevate Joseph over his brethren, his brothers disliked him, and his life took a darker turn. They decided to throw him into a pit and leave him for dead. But as they were eating, they noticed a band of Ishmaelites that were coming through, and they decided to sell him for money instead. It says that he was sold for 20 shekels of silver. And then they tricked his father into believing that he was killed by some wild beast. They brought back the garment when they had actually killed a goat or a lamb or one of the animals, and dipped this garment in the blood, and they took it back to Joseph's father. His father was overcome with grief, and some commentators brought out that Jacob would have had a broken heart, soul, whatever you want to call it. But he was broken. He was really, really broken. And if we look at that, we know that back in the time of Abraham, God had made a promise to Abraham. and that he was going to bless him, and that his seed would be as the sands of the seashore. They would be blessed, and they would thrive in the earth. And I can imagine as Jacob pondered the ways of his children and the ways of his older brothers, it was probably hard for Jacob to envision that God was going to do his work through Joseph's older brothers. Maybe he had put a lot of hope in Joseph, and to know that Joseph was killed was very hard on him. It could say that it was the death of Jacob's dream. Later on, we see that Joseph had some dreams. actually, he had those dreams, and he shared it with his family and his brethren and his father. And that's what led to this thing of them throwing him into a pit and selling him to the Ishmaelites. The remainder of Joseph's life was filled with twists and turns, but throughout the story, God's hand is evident. I have down here several things that really stand out to me about Joseph. Joseph was beloved. He was gifted a prized possession, the coat of many colors. Joseph was humiliated. Joseph was deserted. He was sold. He was promoted. He was tempted. He was misrepresented. He was jailed. He was forgotten. He was crowned. He then became a redeemer. Joseph was faithful. Joseph was committed. God blessed Joseph's posterity beyond measure. If we go to Genesis chapter 37, I'd like to read starting there. And as I looked at Joseph's life here in the Bible, all of it's interesting. So many chapters and so much detail. I'd love to read every bit of it, but time is simply not going to allow for that today. So I've pulled out of Scripture several snapshots of Joseph and what went on in his life. Before I start that, if I can inject just a little bit of humor, how many of you children like eggs for breakfast? Any of you like eggs for breakfast? I sort of like them maybe more so than I used to. Some of us, when we were young, we didn't like eggs. But now ham. How many of you like ham? Anybody doesn't like ham? I like ham. I like a good slice of ham, especially with some eggs. Well, there's a story. The story goes like this. A chicken and a pig decided that they were going to open a restaurant. So in partnership, the chicken and the pig were going to open a restaurant. Well, as the story goes, the chicken was involved. The pig was committed. He had to give his life to make the ham. But the chicken laid the egg. And you know, well, that's funny. It really is funny. But as we think of our lives as Christians, in today's Christianity, I find myself included, we like to be involved, but seldom are we committed. The life of Joseph demonstrates commitment, even to the point of should he die. Joseph was committed, very committed. Going to Genesis chapter 37, start reading in verse 1 there. It says, "And Jacob dwelt on the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him." Okay, so I skipped a part there. Going to verse 10 in chapter 37. Here Joseph had shared his dream with his brethren and also with his father. And in verse 10, his father says, "And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to this earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him, and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came to Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery, balm, and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down in the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. We'll cease reading there for the moment. Joseph was 17 years old at this point in his life. Joseph went on to become a powerful example of how we can overcome adversities. There are many other great heroes in our Bible that God worked with at a very young age. A few of those being David, Esther, and Daniel. The point is, wherever you are in life, God is ready to start. Whenever we become available, He's ready to start. God only needs us to be available and committed for us to be used for His glory and His purpose. You would think the story could end right here. Joseph fades off into the sunset. He fades off into oblivion. His family, Jacob, and all the rest of his children, they could go on. Could they fulfill the purposes of God? Certainly, I'm sure God could work a miracle in their hearts and lives as well. But he doesn't. The story goes on. Joseph soon faced incredible success with his captors. But also with success came severe testing. In a couple of the next chapters, we read where Joseph was tested. He was tested with the things that we are tested with, the sins of the flesh. In our Christian walk of life, if we commit our life to the Lord, sooner or later, God will allow us to be tempted. He wants to know where our heart is. Are we with Him? Or are our hearts still with the world? God wants to build us up to accomplish His purposes that He needs fulfilled. So this testing is important in our life so that we can accomplish His purposes. Often we rebel against such testing. It's important that we keep the bigger picture in mind. Going to Genesis chapter 39, we see a little bit here of this time of Joseph's testing. In Genesis chapter 39, it says in verse 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Maybe Joseph thought, wow, okay, so maybe I'll hit a lick here, or maybe I'll catch a rung of the ladder, and I'll move up. Surely God didn't have this captivity in mind for me. In verse 20, it says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison." Verse 21 has a key sentence that I like to bring into focus. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." As you go through life and you are tempted, tested, tried, as you encounter difficulties, know that as with Joseph here, but the Lord was with Joseph. And I'd like to note that on down through other circumstances that we'll go across here in a moment. But the Lord was with Joseph, but the Lord is with you. So if you struggle with your finances, the Lord is with you. If you struggle with your health, the Lord is with you. If you struggle with your relationships, the Lord is with you. If you struggle with your brothers and sisters, the Lord is with you. It's up to us to choose to enter into that God being with us. Verse 22, "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Joseph's obedience and integrity and hard work soon paid off. Even in the worst of possible situations, Joseph consistently continued to make good choices. Joseph had a firm grip on the power of choice. This is one that I seek to continue to learn in my life, the power of choice. God has given us all the power of choice. So the story of Joseph, is it that God just so miraculously ushered in a set of circumstances that just allowed him to become famous and to do what he did? I don't think so. I think Joseph, you know, pondered and pondered what happened in Joseph's life. And I would challenge you, anyone that is interested in this, to go back and read before Genesis chapter 37 as to what happened in Jacob's family. And as you look at when Joseph was born, Rachel died. It's hard to know exactly what happened, but I think you can get a bit of a picture of what happened in Joseph's life that caused him to be so committed to Christ. I believe that it was not just a happenstance. Someone did that legwork, whether it was someone in his life or whatever the case was. But Joseph had a firm grip on the power of choice. And in spite of circumstances, regardless of what they were, He chose, and again he chose to do the right thing. And God could bless him because of that. Today in my life, I think often God is not able to bless me because I'm looking for some happenstance to come my way for me to catch the ability to do the will of God in a way that avoids the testing and the trying of my faith and character. Joseph remained optimistic, even when he fell below the point he started at in Egypt. So when he went into Egypt, he was sold, and something that as a business operator, it's interesting to observe the countenance and the characteristics of a candidate for employment. So if we're discouraged, often there are those that will pity us. But I find it hardly ever that a discouraged countenance will get you promoted. Joseph went into Egypt, and he was immediately promoted as this Potiphar recognized the goodly character of Joseph and his qualities. And then it all breaks loose and goes down again. He gets tempted and tested, and Potiphar's wife assailed him and falsely accused him, misrepresented him, and he goes to jail. That's worse than where he was. So it's like a backset. In our life, sometimes we experience backsets. Let's not lose heart and faith in God's purposes for us at a time like that. So Joseph goes to jail. What does he do? We'll read about that in Genesis chapter 40. In Genesis chapter 40, in verse 6 there, it says, "And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We've dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." We see here where the butler and baker were thrown into prison because Pharaoh was unhappy with them. We don't read exactly what they did that caused that, but they landed in prison where Joseph was. And Joseph could probably have been sitting in the corner with his chin on his chest, wondering, what the world am I going to do here? No, he entered into prison ministry. Look forward to what Kenny has to share with us this evening about his time with the prison ministry. But Joseph took up prison ministering to jailbirds, you might say. He had a lot of reasons to have been despondent, but he wasn't. He didn't succumb to that. What did Joseph do? He listened. He listened to the baker and the butler. It's hard to do that when we're discouraged, isn't it? Joseph was quick to acknowledge God. He said that these interpretations are with God alone. God gives them. In that time, the baker and the potter then came before Pharaoh, and Joseph, as he interpreted the dreams, came true. And one or the other, I don't have that in front of me right now. In that chapter, it gives whether the baker or the butler was saved. I don't remember which. I want to say the baker was killed and the butler was restored. Do I have that correct? And I had to wonder, what went through Joseph's mind when the baker lost his life? I think Joseph knew that it was but the hand of God that saved his life. His life could have been taken very easily as well. His life was in God's hands. Joseph then was forgotten by the butler. The butler forgot to mention him. And there he sat in prison. And time went on and on and on. One of the things I find interesting, even in my experience in my Christian walk of life, the Christian walk of life is seasonal. Our lives are seasonal. Sometimes we go through a time of testing. Sometimes we are on an updraft, and there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of inspiration in our lives. But do know that whatever season you're in, if you're with the Lord, He'll take you from one season to the next. So get ready. Joseph sat there for 2 years, and what did he do? I'm just sort of thinking, I'm guessing he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. One of the things that I experienced as a young boy, and that was being bored. And I know our children have experienced the same thing. Sometimes that's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it, to wait, especially waiting on your parents. Maybe your parents are talking to somebody, and they talk too long. I have done a plenty of that. But here Joseph waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. For what? He didn't know where this was going. How was this going to end? What was God going to do? You would have thought that if God was going to promote him to be ruler over all of Egypt, that God would have had him go to the most distinguished university and gain an astute knowledge or degree or diploma, something to learn what he needed to know to be a ruler over Egypt. Instead, it was jail, 2 years in jail. He went to the waiting school, and Joseph mastered it. And all of a sudden, while Joseph was in this dark place in his life and in jail, God catapulted him to the pinnacle. We read about that in Genesis chapter 41, verse 14. It says, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Joseph went from the bottom, to the highest point in Egypt in just a moment like that. God can do that. And God in your life can do something big. A lot of times it simply takes us taking our hands off of it and letting God do it. Much easier said than done. God then blessed Joseph. The king of Egypt, then gave Joseph to wife, and Joseph got to start his own family. We read in Genesis 41, verse 51, it says there, "And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." I pondered that a bit, his father's house. I had to wonder if Joseph thought back of his family, his brothers, his rough brothers, how they treated him, how they used him. And the name of his firstborn was such that he was able to say, "For God said he hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house." I was blessed by that. Verse 52, "In the name of the second call he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." When we're down in the dumps, the last thing we think about is giving to something else or to someone else. A lot of times we think inward, not outward. Joseph thought outward. "For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." I was blessed by that. In time, famine came to the land, and as Joseph explained to the king, that king of Egypt, that famine was going to come and that there was going to be a sore famine and a need for food. God wasn't done testing Joseph. You would think at this point it would have been nice if Joseph could have just been the ruler and done everything he did and just saved all the people from the starvation that was coming. Instead, what did he do? Those that had got him into Egypt to start with, he brought them down to Egypt. And Joseph needed to face his family, his brethren. How much nicer would it have been if God would have just wiped them out and just let Joseph start his own family and just enjoy his life? But no, sometimes God does that to us. A person we dislike, or the person that gives us the hardest time, if God is wanting to do something with us, he can bring that right back to us at a time when we can handle it and we can reconcile that. And that's what I love about the story of Joseph. The redeeming heart of God is demonstrated in the life of Joseph. And he goes through all the circumstances that we read about where Joseph encountered his brethren, found out who they were, and Joseph treated them then in a right way, although what we would call karma came back on Joseph's brethren. They were brought to fear. They were brought to bow down to Joseph. And we see how that Joseph handled that in a humble way. And that's the point I'd like to leave us with today. Recognizing God as the orchestrator of the circumstances in our lives is important. As God receives the glory, he can continue to work. I'm going to have to omit some of the reading here. I would have enjoyed reading where his brethren came to Egypt and where they got their feed and returned. And first they found the money in the bags and then the cup. And how that Joseph insisted that they bring his younger brother, them not knowing, bring their younger brother back down to Egypt. Put them through a lot of testing to know what had happened in their hearts. And I was blessed to see that I think God was working in their hearts as well. And I think Joseph recognized that as well. In time, Joseph came to sit and eat with his brethren, those that had meant it to him for bad, those that had treated him so spitefully. He sat and ate with them. Are we able to do that today in our lives? Are we able to sit and meet with our tormentors or those that mistreat us? He could have decided to get even. Joseph had the upper hand as ruler of Egypt. He could have called all of those that served him, those in the military, he could have called them in a moment and wiped his brothers out. A lot of times in our own lives, we like to help God even things up a bit. It seems to us to be the logical thing to do. But watch what God did. God redeemed it because Joseph cooperated with God's plan. In Genesis chapter 43, it says in verse 33, "And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled at one another. And he took and sent messes unto them before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him." See the peace there that Joseph extended to them. And Joseph dealt with a trait that had consumed, or you might say permeated, his family for years and years. And that was this trait of being cunning and deceitful and tricking. Joseph revealed himself to his brethren when he would not have had to. He would never have had to reveal himself to his brethren, but he chose to do so. Sometimes that's what we need to do in our lives. We also need to acknowledge some of those negative traits in our lives, and we need to uproot those so that God can have his will and way and work in our lives. God keeps his promises. God had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And God was out to keep that promise. God never lets us down on his promises. I remember Grandpa Simon standing here giving testimony. Just stood out to me something that he said, "What is more sure than death?" What is more sure than death is the promises of God. God will keep his promises. We can depend on that. A lot of blessings were ushered in the lives of the children of Israel, or Jacob, on account of Joseph's commitment. Joseph was able to take his kindness all the way to the end, as we read here. We don't have time to go over a lot of the story of how that he provided food for his family and how that Jacob eventually brought his family to Egypt, and how that they were given the best of the land. And it says they multiplied and they were blessed exceedingly. And God was fulfilling his promise to them in so doing. And so it is that God wants to fulfill his promise to us as well. How are you going to enter into the purposes that God has for your life? Are you going to be okay with the process? Or are you going to fall into discouragement and duck out? Are you going to be involved as the chicken was? Or are you going to be committed like the pig so that others can enjoy some ham? I think I'll conclude with that. God bless each of you as you continue to trust him for your life and in the circumstances of your life. Let's kneel for prayer.